Well, just a quick reminder of people. May the 1st, all right, for us, everyone is welcome to join. Okay, May the 1st, we have a games day, all right, whereby we just play games together. You'll be at a field near, opposite Wellington Primary School, quite a big place. Nearby is a Sembawang mud area, so that there's toilet facilities as well. So do join us. We'll probably be, by next week, there will be some groupings, okay? The reason is because so you'll get to interact with one another, find out things and all that before you actually hit the games, okay? There'll be fun games, hopefully. Well, games are always fun, all right? Let's pray for good weather so that we can fellowship together as a church as well. After that, we're having lunch together as well, all right? Okay, VBS, we need workers, and some areas still need to be filled. So after the service today, after the just before the wedding briefing, we'll just have a quick chat about what we need to do, and we'll pray together as we start the process rolling, okay? For the different areas of ministry, if the Lord wants you to serve, okay, in the media or the members and visitors, please approach me, okay? All right, this month we're actually talking about the love of Christ from the cross, okay? Love of Christ from the cross, and we're going to look at different aspects of the cross situations and the events around it. And let's turn to John chapter 19 today, and let's stand, and as our usual habit, we'll stand to read and give reverence to the Word of God. John chapter 19, verse 38 to verse 42. We'll be reading about a particular man in the Bible, and by God's grace, draw some lessons from there today, okay? I'll read John 19, 38, and then you go on verse 39 and so on until we finish together in verse 42. John chapter 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Verse 39. John 19, verse 40. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloth with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Verse 41.
Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden was a sepulchre, wherein was no man
yet laid. Verse 42. Together, there laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation for the supplication unto him. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And Father, we thank you for two men that's been mentioned here, Joseph and Nicodemus. Lord, we know that some so-called religions would venerate them and say they are Saint Joseph and Saint Nicodemus. But we know, Father, they are but common men who are sinners needing a Savior as well. But Lord, what you're going to say tonight, I pray, today, Lord, I pray that you will speak to us in a powerful way. God, you will make it real to us. What are the lessons you want us to draw from your precious word tonight? So we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Bless the chapel upstairs. And I pray, Lord, that thy will be done even in the lives of these little children. Truly, Father, they will find Christ as their Savior too. And we'll thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Right, today we'll be doing a little bit of study about this man called Joseph of Arimathea. All right, and how many of you have heard a message about Joseph of Arimathea before? Okay, one. This man is seldom preached, okay? But yet he is an important man within, okay, the Bible. Okay, for our visitors today, I think we do have notes inside for you to follow along. All right, basically so that you can follow along, bring it home and study. Okay, but at the same time, it helps you to follow the trend of the messages, especially for the younger ones, where the parents are being guided around the parents. The younger ones are being guided by the parents, not the parents guided by the younger ones to follow the message. Okay, hopefully that will never happen, that the younger ones must guide the parents in following the message. Okay, so and those also there are verses, all right, so that I know some of you, oh, Brother Johnny, I don't know where the passage is. I've tried to put all the relevant verses, okay, in here so that you can just follow along without turning quickly. All right? Okay. We're going to be exploring a few things about this man. All right? I'm going to give a little bit of background of Joseph of Arimathea. It's interesting because there are four Gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? And all the Gospels mention this man, Joseph. In every gospel, after the crucifixion of Christ and after Jesus Christ died, Joseph of Arimathea was specifically mentioned. Right? Now, it's no doubt that God had a plan. And His plan is no doubt the fulfillment of a particular prophecy of the Old Testament. In Isaiah 53 and verse 9, you have it right on top there. The Bible verse says, "And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth." Isaiah wrote the book of Isaiah 700 years before Jesus Christ ever died. And in Isaiah 53 verse 9, you find that 700 years earlier, Isaiah the prophet has already written the way Jesus Christ was going to be buried. And 700 years later, we see the exact fulfillment. That's why we believe the Bible is absolutely 100% to the spot letter true. Why? Because whatever that has been said in the past is fulfilled literally. Now, Brother Johnny, how do you see that? Number one, the Bible says He made His grave with the wicked. All right? Jesus was buried just like any ordinary man, a sinful man. He made His grave with the wicked. And then number two, you find that He made His grave with the rich. And the Bible says very clearly in Matthew 27, verse 57, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph. And the grave and tombstone that Jesus was buried in was the tombstone that Joseph of Arimathea has prepared for himself. So when Jesus Christ died, basically He gave up His tombstone to give it to, not tombstone, tomb, for Jesus to be buried in. Okay? Now, this is a very important principle simply because all crucified criminals in those days were not given proper burial. All the criminals that were crucified were cast into this place called Gethsemane, a place outside of Jerusalem that had been burning for the last 400 years. It's a place where the filth and kind of like our incinerator, you know, all your garbage, you know, once a week the garbage truck will come, they put all your rubbish in this big truck and goes to this incinerator and they will burn it outside somewhere, okay? And this place, Gethsemane, is that place whereby not only the refuse of the city is being burnt, all crucified criminals, after they had died, were never given proper burial. They were taken down from the cross and their bodies, as they died, was thrown into this place. But the Bible says, thank God our Lord Jesus Christ was spared that dishonor. Someone cared enough to take the body from the cross and buried Him properly. And so here the Bible says the reason why He didn't suffer that, because our Savior, thank God, wasn't a criminal. Amen? He was holy. He was God. And so the Bible says here, He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death because He had done no violence. Neither was any deceit in His mouth. That represents the purity of our Lord Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. Okay, what a blessing that is. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, had no sin. You know, this is such an important thing for Bible believers to understand. Our Savior is a sinless Son of God who died on the cross for our sin. Okay? Now, other background information about Joseph. The meaning of the word Joseph. Let's talk to Joseph. Where's Joseph? Can you put up your hand? This is Joseph, right? That's his real name. Okay? That's not, Joseph, what is the meaning of your name? Huh? I didn't expect you. Does he know? Did he tell that? Joseph. What's the meaning of Joseph? Okay, anyone knows the meaning of Joseph? The word Joseph means let him add. Let him add. Okay? I'm just trying to look at the relevance of that. But the word Joseph means to let him add. He was from a place called Arimathea. The word Arimathea means heights. Okay? So basically, perhaps Joseph was from the higher society. We don't know, okay, but we know that he was very rich. In Matthew 27, verse 57, this Joseph was a rich man. We know that he was rich. Not only was he rich, he was, the Bible says in Mark 15, 43, you can find it there as I go down, he was also an honorable counselor. The word honorable counselor means he was a reputable member of the Jewish Sanhedrin. The Jewish religious group, there are 70 to 72 religious elders who sit in judgment of the entire nation of Israel. Okay? Joseph of Arimathea was one of those religious leaders who was part of the Jewish Sanhedrin. The The job of the Jewish Sanhedrin is to govern the affairs, the religious affairs of the Jewish people. And sometimes if there were crimes or breaking of God's law, they will be the ones who will decide this person is guilty or not. When Jesus was arrested, he went to the Sanhedrin. Okay, and the Jewish group of people were the ones who said Jesus needed to die. Okay, so he was a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, and he was an honorable counselor, so he had a good reputation. He was also of good character. Luke 23 verse 50, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man, and he was just." He was a good man. In other words, he don't just teach the law; he lived the law. He walked the talk, meaning that whatever he say, he do. So he was a just man, according to the Bible. And it seems to suggest in Mark 15:43, Joseph of Arimathea was a believer. The Bible says that in Mark 15:43, he was an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God. Just like many Jews during that day, and you know, do you realize today, many of the Jews in Jerusalem or Israel today are still waiting for the kingdom? Okay, and if they say, "Oh, Jesus have already come in the kingdom," say, "Nah, he's not the Messiah. We are still waiting for the kingdom." I was speaking to someone, the youth, not our youth, but I was involved in the youth camp many, about 10, 15 years ago, and they actually had some games at Fort Canning. So there was this businessman, you know, those people on sometimes you go overseas and you have some free time, you take your video camera, you go around and just shooting. So there was one guy who was standing there, and so I was beside, just looking at him videoing our youth in action, taking photographs and all that. So I spoke to him and found out he was a Jew. Okay, he was here on the business trip. And so I asked him, just asking about, "Are you still waiting for the Messiah?" I said, "Oh yeah, I don't know the Jewish accent, right?" But he did say that you are still waiting for the Messiah, and the Messiah will be coming. All right. And if you would read Google some of these things, you will find today that the Jewish people are actively preparing for the coming kingdom. Okay, the institution of the temple, the Levitical sacrifices. Apparently, they have built even a simulated tabernacle in the wilderness to prepare and train their Levitical priests. And all the sacrifices are to be brought back. Do you know why they're doing that? Because Jesus said it's going to happen. Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus Christ comes again the second time in the rapture, when Christians are taken up, and those who are here today, and if ever the time on a Sunday you come to Ambassador Baptist Church and find it, I'm hoping empty, totally. I'm hoping totally empty. When we are raptured and you come and say, "How come there's no church today, man?" And you SMS me and you do not get any response over a 7-day period. And then you find that aeroplanes are crashing out of the skies. Massive car accidents all over the place. Complete chaos. It just could be the rapture has happened. Okay? And God says it is going to happen. The kingdom of God and all the Jewish sacrifices, the Jewish temple, which is not built now, the Dome of the Rock is at Jerusalem, but during the 7 years of tribulation, the Jewish temple will be built again at Jerusalem. And all the sacrifices will be reinstated, at least for that time, until Satan comes in and destroys that whole system and wants people to worship him. Okay, so I just want to lay that in there because they were waiting for the kingdom of God. Okay, he was waiting for the kingdom of God. It is interesting also in Luke 23, verse 51, there was one time that Joseph of Arimathea seems to express his Christian faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah. The Bible says just now in our reading in the book of John, chapter 19, I'll just read there. "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus..." So Joseph, we know from the Bible, appears to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And in the entire four Gospels, it was mentioned one time in Luke chapter 23, verse 51, "He did not consent. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them." What does that mean, Brother Johnny? It means when the Jewish Sanhedrin was standing in judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ, to convict him and to crucify him to death, or to sentence him to death, Joseph Arimathea, according to some, according to the background, did not attend that meeting. because he did not agree with the fact that Jesus was guilty. By the way, for your information, Jesus was tried at night. Remember, he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane at night. He was brought to trial at high priest. Do you realize, according to the Jewish law, it was forbidden, it was illegal to have any Jewish trials at night? In other words, what the Sanhedrin had to do to break their own, they had to break their own laws in order to prepare Jesus to die. All right? So the trial of Jesus was an illegal trial. But even before Jesus went, they already agreed that he was guilty. So he had no choice. But you know what? Thank God that even in the sins of man, God's will was still accomplished. Amen? Jesus still went to the cross to die for our sins. But you know what? Joseph of Arimathea wasn't there. He didn't consent. It perhaps showed the expression of his Christian faith. He was a good man. He was one who looked for the kingdom. But apparently there was something in his life that wasn't right. I want to highlight three things from the life of Joseph. Number one, he was a secret disciple of Christ. He was a secret disciple of Christ. Look at John chapter 19, verse 38. Just three very quick points. Joseph of Arimathea was a secret disciple of Christ. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. We know that the Bible clearly says that Joseph is a disciple of Christ. Okay? The word disciple means a follower. Do you realize one thing? I was just searching through, reading many passages. Do you realize many of the early church, people who trusted Christ, they were all called, not followers of Christ, they were called disciples of Christ. Do you realize the word Christian came in only in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, when the people were called Christians first in the city of Antioch? Do you know what's the meaning of Christians? How many of you know what's the meaning of Christians? The word Christians means little Christs. In other words, their life is so like Jesus Christ that the early people who saw Christians say, these people are the little Christ or Christians. The word Christians is not a nice word in those days. It was a word of insult. Oh, there goes that Christian. That's the way they thought of it. But you know, over time, you know, that actually identifies us with Jesus Christ. It was the sufferings of Christ. When the early people saw Christians, they saw them so like Jesus Christ that they even insulted them. You know where you got the word Baptist from? Many of the people believe that the Baptist came from the Reformation. That is not true. They don't know church history. The word Baptist came from the word Anabaptist, when people who were standing firmly on God's word refused to join mainstream so-called Christianity. And those people who realized that there were a group of people who held strongly to the New Testament, and those people wanted to join them, those people said, no, you can't join unless you are baptized again, Anabaptized. That's where the word Anabaptist came from. Okay? And over time, we just dropped the word Anna and became Baptist. But you know what? Those words were derogatory names. In other words, we were called Baptists because we were insulted for what we believe in. All right? So just give you a background. But he was a secret disciple of Christ. The Bible says in John 19:38 that Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple, the word being means in a state or in a condition of being a follower of Christ. In other words, Joseph was a follower of Christ. Okay, he's a follower of Christ. And he appeared to voice his opinion in Luke 23, verse 51. Just now I mentioned that he did not consent to the death of Christ. Now, although he made dissent about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible made it very clear that he was a secret Christian. Why was Joseph a secret Christian? In John 19:38, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Why was Joseph not willing to publicly be recognized as a Christian and associated with Christ? Why? Because he was afraid of the Jews. Because he was afraid of the Jews. Now, as I was thinking about that, remember this is talking about the love of Christ on the cross. And when Jesus Christ died, Joseph of Arimathea actually took his body. But Joseph was someone who was afraid to voice out his faith. You know, as I was thinking about this, isn't it so true of Singaporean Christianity today? In our workplaces. I know it's hard. I know Singapore has very strict laws with regards to in the education system, in the civil service system, that there's certain laws about mentioning Christ. But when it's time to make a stand and say that you're a Christian, do you dare to say you're a Christian? I had the privilege of talking to one of my colleagues this week. I actually work on Wednesday, so I had this opportunity to talk and found out that she was from a school called MGS, Methodist Girls' School, and she was there for many years, and 4 years. And she went to chapel and all that, and I asked her, the reason why I asked was, I probed, and apparently she's, when I asked her, are you a Christian? She said, no, she was a free thinker. Okay, so I said, fine, I mean, I respect that. But then she uses this thing called the daily bread. Have you heard of the daily bread? Say, oh, a free thinker using a daily bread, and she reads it to her son every morning. So I'm going to ask her, wait, I'm just interested to know, where did you get this from? You know, how come you know this daily bread? Oh, he said it was from MGS. So just cut the whole long story short, I actually asked, did you at the time remember that you prayed to accept Christ into your heart as your personal Savior? And say, yeah, vaguely, there was one girl who spoke to me, and apparently I prayed and all that kind of thing. And so over the years, apparently she does still claim to believe. And the reason why she did not continue in that, because she married a non-believer who didn't want to go to church. And so after that, he kind of just closed the whole chapter until we met that day. And I mean, she's my colleague. I spoke to her about that. And after that, she seems to be warming up to the Word of God. I had the privilege of sitting down with her, open the Bible, and share many things with her. And she seems to be, wow, okay, yeah, that's right. And then she was agreeing with everything, and which reminds me, those in the correspondent course, please give me the first one for the new friends and the first one for the new life in Christ. I need to send it to her because she wanted it. But at the end of the whole thing, I asked her, are you still a free thinker? I asked her, are you still a free thinker after you've agreed with all the Bible truth and all that? Having also known that she's so-called made a profession of faith. You know what she said? I'm not too sure. Can I say this? Being a Christian does cost. It does cost. There is a cost. Joseph was a disciple of Christ secretly simply because he was fearful. Why do you think he was fearful? Any reasons why he was fearful? Do you realize in many countries of this world, when people become a Christian, they lose everything? We thank God that in Singapore, we don't have to have that kind of thing that happened to us. But yesterday, the youth, I encourage you to come. We watch a DVD presentation of this boy by the name of Nikolai Rublenko. Apparently, he's a real character. He lived behind the Iron Curtain. You know the Iron Curtain? The former Soviet Union, whereby having Bibles was illegal, and they meet in small groups. Rublenko was a teenager, and he had a choice. Rublenko was very athletic. He was first in the swimming meet. Okay, he was a very intelligent boy. He had a lot of things going for him, and he wanted to go to the university to be a lawyer. But in order to be a lawyer and go to the university, he had to join this club called the Youth Pioneers, Young Pioneers Club of the Communist Government. Okay, and they're supposed to wear the red scarf. Also, you know, in China, they wear the red scarf, right? Okay, for those of the Communist Party. And so in Russia, they wear the Communist Party red scarf as well. But because his family was a Christian, he made a stand that he will not participate in that. And over the years, he began to realize there was a cost. And one of the costs was, if you do not join the Youth Pioneers, your education finished at high school. You are not allowed to go to the university. He was first on the swim in the swimming meet and was due to be selected for the swim team, but he was rejected because he was a Christian. And so Nikolai Rublenko had this difficulty of actually making a decision whether or not to continue, and there was a Christian, so-called Christian teacher who went to the university because she just followed whatever the communists said and kept her faith to herself. And within the DVD, for those youth who saw it, will realize this teacher was a secret Christian. But you know, at the end of that, she had to lose her own character when she betrayed Nikolai Rublenko. because of something that he didn't do. Okay, what happened was two students broke in to into the science place and destroyed everything there. Nikolai came and wrestled with them. The teacher came and saw the two, but when she was confronted by the principal of the school, who was a communist, she denied seeing the other two. And Nikolai was made to pay for everything as a Christian. In Singapore, thankfully, we may not have to do that. But let me ask you a question. When was the last time you told someone you were a Christian? When was the last time you actually told someone, hey, I'm a Christian? Now, when was the last time you dared to share with someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you know what's the result of being a secret disciple of Christ? Let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. What is the outcome if we are a secret disciple of Christ? We're looking at the events surrounding the cross, but hopefully we'll glean some learnings from here. In Luke 24 and verse 22 and verse 54, let me just read this. The result of being a secret Christian. Let me read. And then let the Lord speak. In verse 54, Luke 22. Then took they him and led him and brought him into a high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, verse 56, and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. 58, and after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also one of them. Peter said, man, I am not. 59, and about the space of 1 hour, 1 hour later, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he was a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. Now, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately while he spake, the cock crew. Now, when I read this, I said, Lord, is that me? Is that me? When it comes to some things that I need to stand for you, Lord, is that me in the workplace, in the school? How many of you as students were there to tell your friends that you are a Christian and you come to church? And because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this? The moment you say that, you will be laughed at. How many of you agree with that? How many of you have experienced that? You'll be laughed at. When I was in the army, that was what happened. I told him, I don't drink because I'm a Christian. He actually did this in front of me. Because I was just a cadet officer. But you know, it was hard. You know, there were many things that were happening. And it was difficult because as a Christian, there were certain things that you just don't do. But you're standing up for Christ. Are you a secret disciple of Christ? You know what's the outcome of being a secret disciple of Christ? You would reject Christ every time. You reject Christ. Oh, sorry, you got to do this. Thing on this particular day, and you know that time is sometimes that I know some of you do have to work, so please be very careful. I don't want to actually step on unnecessarily give people the wrong idea. But you know what? If you actually have a choice to make a decision for Christ, would you? Or would you say, never mind, it's okay, I just missed this time for church. God will understand. Can I say on behalf of God, you may say that God understands. Yes, He does, but we will be held accountable. Just as your boss told you, you have to be here at the project. And you're not there. You think your boss will not ask you why? So, are you a secret disciple? You will reject Christ. And that's scary. Why? Because you already have the practice of being a secret Christian. A secret Christian will not tell other people about Christ. Okay? How do you think the Lord feels when you're a secret Christian? Let's look at verse 61. Luke 22, verse 61. How does the Lord Jesus Christ feel when we are secret disciple of Christ? And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. I want you to just get a sense of this. Remember, before this, Peter said, Lord, I will stand for you. I'm going to stand for you. And Lord, if everyone forsakes you, I'm not going to forsake you. You know what Jesus told Peter? Before the cock crow twice, you're going to deny me three times. Three times you will deny me. Oh, Peter was a bit shocked, but you know, no, I'm not. I will go to the death with you, Lord. That's what Peter said. But when Peter denied Jesus three times, when Peter denied Jesus three times, notice what, when the cock crew, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine? What do you think Peter felt? Can you imagine the Lord Jesus crying, or something like that? And Jesus turned and looked at Peter, and Peter looked at Jesus. How do you think Peter felt? How do you think? Can I say this? At the judgment seat of Christ, one look at your Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian today, you will be standing before Christ at the judgment seat. One look into his eyes at that time when you see him will bring back all the things that you should have done and you didn't do. The things that you didn't do that you should have done. And you know what? At that time, perhaps I believe this is going to happen. We are not going to give any excuse. You know why? What excuse are we going to give to Christ for not serving him? Are you a secret disciple of Christ? Think of what you will lose as a secret disciple of Christ. No, Joseph was an honorable man. He had things of this world. But you know what? Joseph missed out opportunities of being associated with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Right? Because he wanted to be a secret disciple. Although he knew Jesus was there, he didn't associate himself with him. That's one. He missed the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. Comparing fellowship with the world and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, whose fellowship would you rather have? Honestly. Christians, honestly, if you have your friends and the Lord Jesus Christ, who would you rather fellowship with? If you have your friends of the world and God's people, who would you rather fellowship with? You know what the answer is? The Bible is very clear. Our fellowship with the Father and with each other. But you know what? How much love do we have for God and his people? Number one, Joseph missed out opportunities for fellowship. Number two, Joseph missed out opportunities for ministry. You know, everywhere Jesus went, he did things and served people. Joseph couldn't do that. So he missed out opportunities to bless other people. He also missed out learning truth. Every time Jesus Christ taught, the disciples were there to listen. But Joseph had no opportunity. And finally, he missed out being blessed by the testimonies and miracles. Because he was so busy doing what he was doing, and he was with the Sanhedrin most of the time, being a secret disciple, he wasn't available to be with Christ when Jesus healed the sick or helped someone out of their demonic state. He couldn't be blessed by that. Yes, Joseph kept all of his earthly possessions, such as his reputation, his position, his money, his career, but he's lost all the spiritual blessings that God has for us as believers. Oh, Christian, think about this for a while. You know, if what I say now, Brother Johnny, I don't know what you're talking about. God help us. Oh, God help us to realize that we have so much spiritual blessings in Christ, and many of us are missing that simply because we are a secret agent Christian. The Bible says, Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole and lose his own soul? Point number one, Joseph was a secret disciple, but point number two, very important point, the cross made the difference. Okay, look at Mark 15, verse 43, and Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus Christ. If you read all the four accounts of Joseph Arimathea, he sprang into action immediately after Jesus Christ died. Now, I don't know about you, and I was trying to look at the Bible, Lord, why did Joseph have this courage? The word there, he went in boldly in Mark 15:40. He went in boldly unto Pilate. The word went in boldly means he's plucked up his courage. The word boldly means he venture out. The word venture has the idea of, I know there's some risk, but I'm willing to take the risk. Does that make sense? And so, for Pontius Pilate, Joseph actually, after the death of Christ, actually picked up his courage and went out and said, Pontius Pilate, I want the body of Jesus. That means all along he was fearful that, but all of a sudden, something changed. Does that make sense? Something changed in the life of Joseph of Arimathea when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Death has a way of affecting a man. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2. Death has a way of affecting a man. Death has a way of affecting a man. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2. You need to turn to this, alright? This is an extra verse. I'll just read, all right? It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay to his heart. Isn't it true when we attend a funeral or when someone has passed away? We go there solemn, we go there with the mind frame that, okay, we need to wear dark colors in Singapore, always for our people from different nationalities that come to Singapore. When you attend a funeral, it's always important to have very dull black or gray to respect the people who are going through that mourning process. But I know about you, you're not going to go there and say, okay, we're going to have a good time, you know, and we're going to just laugh and play. And no, you go there with a mindset, someone has passed away. You know, this week, Auntie Janet's father passed away. I think I SMS some of you. And he was the age of 97. He had dementia, I think, for the last 10 to 12 years, being nursed in the nursing home, not able to hear the gospel. And you know what? Thank God some of the church members went down. You know, we had the privilege of sharing the gospel with two of the brothers, Auntie Janet's brothers, and Auntie Janet had the privilege of sharing the gospel to them as well. One of them had cancer of the ears that led to half the face is just, it was removed because of the cancer. You know what he said? He said, I just live life one at a time. He can't work, and because of his face, he had no future. He's about 57. He just stays at home, doesn't want to go out because probably of his face. You know what I told him? You can have a new face. Only a Christian can say that to someone like that. And I told him, look, when you get to heaven, God can give you a new face. And I was able to share with him the gospel because of sin. And sin has disfigured man, destroyed man. And death is the result of sin. But you know what? Jesus Christ still came. You know, it was pretty sad for me to say, well, you know, I cannot change my religion. Religion doesn't save. If you believe in a Christian religion, you're in trouble because Jesus Christ hated religion. Matthew 23. He blasted the religious leaders for being hypocrites. You see, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with a living creator. Amen? That God actually saved men who were so sinful by his death on the cross and said, would you come to me? I've got all love for you. I've got all forgiveness for you. But you've got to get rid of your sin because sin cannot get into heaven. Your sin needs to be forgiven from the inside. You know, that's why there's a difference between a person trying to work himself to heaven because it's full of pride. I can do it. I can do it. When a Christian says, God, I cannot do it, only you can. And when the love of Jesus Christ comes into our hearts, it changes us from the inside. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, though all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We become new creatures. We become Christians. And so it could be that Joseph at this time, when he saw the death of Christ, he said, what am I doing? I believed in him and he died for me. How can I not do anything for him? You know, I cannot say what the Bible does not say about the changes in Joseph's life, but I can say this. The pain, the cross, the crucifixion, and the death of Christ must have affected Joseph to the point that he says, I'm no longer going to hide my faith about this wonderful Savior. Christians, is Jesus good to you? Has he been glorious to you in saving your soul? Has he been... How many of you will dare to say Christ have ever failed us in all our years of Christianity? No way. God says, I will never fail you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Christ has been faithful. Then the question therefore is, if he has been faithful to us, have we been faithful to proclaiming his name? He's proclaiming his name. Now let me highlight what changes happened to Joseph. Number one, he secretly followed Christ previously, but now he publicly owned him. You know, I've read the Bible many times, but when I prepare for messages, I always learn a lot. Do you know who took down the body from the cross? It wasn't the soldiers. It was two men, Joseph and Nicodemus. That's what the Bible says. Look at Luke 23, verse 52. This man went unto Pilate, referring to Joseph, and begged the body of Jesus, and he, Joseph Arimathea, took it down and wrapped it in linen. Oh, it wasn't the soldiers. The soldiers who had probably took the guy down and threw him into the valley of Hinnom. But it was Joseph Arimathea. He used to follow Jesus secretly and said, no more, no more. I'm just going to... I'm going to say, I'm a believer now. Lord, I didn't do anything for you in life, in death. At least let me give you a decent burial. Before he followed Christ secretly, now he publicly owned him. He's no longer ashamed of his Savior. He says, perhaps this is what I think. I've wasted my years as a believer, but now I'm going to stay and will no longer stay away, but be totally committed to you. Number one, he publicly owned him. Number two, he was a secret Christian previously because of fear. But after the cross and the death of the Lord Jesus, his love for Christ overcame his fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. All right, I believe is there. This is a very important verse. 1 John 4, 18. Sorry, the Bible says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear had torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. The Bible says what? Perfect love casteth out fear. You know what probably happened to Joseph based on God's word? In the past, what was his problem for being a secret disciple? He was fearful of the Jews. But when he saw the love at the cross for his life, what did he do? I'm no longer going to be afraid. I'm thankful every Wednesday there are teenagers going out trying to win souls for Christ. And many of them, one of them shared, you know, I used to be afraid, but you know what? I'm just going to share the gospel with someone. Can I say this? Some of us will say, Brother Johnny, I cannot serve this. I cannot serve that. Why? Because I'm afraid. Can I say this? Perfect love casteth out fear. If you genuinely love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will say, God, no matter how much I fear, because of my love for you, I'll do all I can. This perfect love is shown probably in a mom, perhaps maybe she was carrying a little child and then maybe she slipped and fell and the child fell into the water and the mom couldn't swim, but love for that child. What did the mom do? Probably just jump into the water and try to save the son. You know what? If you genuinely love God, you will cast out your fear. Christians, are you fearful? You need to actually love God more. And how do you love God more? By obeying Him more. Because 1 John, you know, the more you study the scriptures, the more you realize all is interrelated. If I'm fearful, how do I overcome the fear? I need God's love, right? The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. But how am I supposed to get perfect love? 1 John 2, 5, he that keepeth my sayings, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And so the more you obey God, your perfect love will cast out your fear. The more you love Jesus, the more you obey Him, the more you will love God. Number one, he was a secret Christian previously, but now because of his love for Christ, he overcame his fear. Remember, Joseph was fearful of the Jews, but now no more. His love for the Lord Jesus no longer have any reservations. He was changed. His love was perfected in him, and therefore he went in boldly to Pontius Pilate for the body of Christ. Point number C, he gave nothing to the Lord Jesus Christ previously. In other words, when he was a member, honorable counselor of the Sanhedrin, he didn't give anything to the Lord. But you know now, his life was changed and he gave all. What are the things he gave? Number one, he gave up his tomb. He gave up his tomb. That was an expensive exercise. Burial in Singapore is not cheap. I was trying to find in the Google, how much would a tomb cost in those days? I couldn't find it. Maybe some of you can help me with that. I was trying to look for a few days, I couldn't find it. But you know what? A tomb is something. These tombs are carved out of the cave. And what they do is they find a cave and they'll pay people to carve out a tomb. And the tombstone is not like we put our body into the ground 6 feet. They actually dig a whole cave. In other words, they got to pay lots of money and they got to prepare this big stone that after you're dead and then they bury you, they'll close it up. That tomb belongs to you. Okay? Number one, he gave up his tomb. It's an expensive exercise. Number two, he probably gave up his reputation as an honorable member of the Sanhedrin. Remember, the Sanhedrin hated Jesus. But what did Joseph do? He publicly went to the Roman emperor, Roman governor, and said, I want the body of Jesus, risking his career, risking his reputation as an honorable Sanhedrin. You know, this is something that sometimes as Christians, we realize if we stand for Christ, we stand to lose. We stand to lose. And it's something that we have to, you know, in showing our love, many mothers here perhaps have given up their jobs because they love their child more than their money. they can earn. Oh, that God will help us have that love. Another thing, he will probably see the end of his career. Remember Apostle Paul? He was also a Pharisee, right? After he became a Christian, what happened to him? People wanted to kill him. He possibly have seen the end of his Sanhedrin career. And finally, he gave up his inconsistency. He was a secret believer, but he still believed in Christ. But when he came out and said, "Lord, you love me so much. Your love for me is so overwhelming. God, I'm going to be single-minded in loving you." He gave up his double-mindedness, and he was single-minded in following Christ. You realize one thing. Those who are double-minded, whether or not to serve, to follow Christ, often become stagnant as Christians. Because you're not willing to take the step forward, and after a while, you just don't grow. Huh? If I put a glass of water here for one day, you can still drink, right? After 2 days, and 3 days, and 4 days, and what will happen to the glass? Glass. Now just be careful the NEA don't come. You don't know, they will fine you for having water with a little... those who we were formerly in Jalan Telopok, we actually... the toilet bowl was full of little squiggles, you know, swimming around. And those are the dengue fever stuff that were there. Okay? And so that's something that... You know what? If you become stagnant, you don't follow Christ. If you're double-minded about serving Christ, you will become stagnant. In teenagers, your education are important. My question for you, is it more important than following Jesus Christ? If it is, oh God, will help us to seek first His kingdom. I know it's important, education in Singapore, but God's not going to ask you for your honors degree at the judgment seat. And that's something we need to understand. I'm not saying education is not important. I'm saying, oh, where is your heart? Do you realize that? I thank God that many of the young people that in our youth group, they do very well. Thank God for them. Many of them score A's, and someone has improved even in the... Why? Because, no, they're doing well to serve Christ. They're doing well because there's a purpose. I want to glorify God with my education. You don't just do education for yourself. You do education to glorify God. You know, it may be that because... you may have accepted Christ, but the fear of man prohibits you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, soul winning, discipleship of an individual. You fear that you may lose your own time, your own ambitions. Not Joseph. The moment he realized Jesus Christ died for him, he said, "I love you, Lord." Why? Because you first loved me. 1 John chapter 4. And finally, his decision to own Christ publicly encouraged Nicodemus to do the same. Oh, that's an encouraging one, who was also a secret follower until now. In Mark 15:44, Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. This verse tells us that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, when people are crucified on the cross, many times it took about 2 or 3 days before they died. Okay, usually they died by suffocation and all that kind of thing. So when Joseph came in and asked for the body, Pilate said, "Hey, how come he only 3 hours, 6 hours, he died already so fast?" And so he called the centurion, and when he established that Jesus was dead, in verse 45, and when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone upon the door of the sepulchre. So Joseph was the one who took out the body, wrapped him, and guess who came? Nicodemus came. And I want you to notice something about Nicodemus. The Bible actually tells us, if we go back to John chapter 19, you realize that Nicodemus actually brought, in verse 39, brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes about 100 pounds of weight. When I studied that a little bit, you realize one thing. 100 pounds of spices brought was mentioned by a modern rabbi to be ridiculous. You know why? Because a dead body only requires 0.5 pound of spices. A dead body, according to a modern rabbi, only required 0.5 pound of spices to embalm the body. 0.5 pound. That's according to a modern rabbi. So they believed as a result, this was a ridiculous thing. However, an ancient commentator on this, in ancient Jewish thinking, listen, the more spices one brings to the dead body, the more honorable that dead person is to the person bringing. Does that make sense? A modern rabbi says that's ridiculous, but ancient Jewish thinking says the more spices you put in, it means you honor that person even more. And Nicodemus brought 100 pounds. And that will be 20 times more than is necessary. Why? Because I no longer will be a secret Christian anymore. I'm going to show the world that I love him. I'm going overboard to show my love. Okay? Desmond and Jamie is not here. Last year, remember, Desmond showed how he proposed to Jamie, remember? Okay? Apparently, he did so many things. He went to Jamie's boss, okay? You're not here. Are they there? No, if they are there, brother dancer, can you please lock them out? just kidding. Okay, I just kind of rewind. And remember, he said that he actually went to Jamie's boss and said, please sign the leave form. Jamie didn't know that she was on leave. Okay, Sister Jamie didn't know because Brother Desmond actually went behind her back and said, because he was going to propose to her on a day. But on the other hand, then he asked the boss, can you give her an assignment to Botanical Gardens? Okay, and so he was supposed to interview, and he went to the National Parks person in Botanical Gardens to ask him to play along with him. And so, yeah, and then she actually went thinking that he was going to do an interview. But when he went there, there was Desmond with this picnic basket and proposed to her. It's like, all was captured. I think her friend was secretly filming the whole thing and all the photographs of the whole thing. Okay? The Bible actually says in Proverbs 30, you will do absolutely crazy things for people you love. Amen? You do crazy things for people you love and care about. You know what Nicodemus did? He did crazy things for the Lord Jesus Christ. Gave 20 times more spices than was necessary. The reason why he was doing this, because he was deeply encouraged by Joseph, and because both of them were Pharisees, it is highly likely what will happen to Joseph will happen to Nicodemus. But they have already made up their minds to follow Jesus. Can I say this? After this account in the Bible, Nicodemus and Joseph were never heard of again in the entire account of the New Testament. We don't know whether after that they were persecuted as well. They were probably kicked out of the Sanhedrin because they followed Jesus. But you know what? They were willing because they love Christ. The love of Jesus at the cross will break down anything that binds us to this world. As a believer, did you realize that your testimony, what you say, what you do as a Christian, though it may be small, may be enough to tip someone over just to say, because of your life, because of your faithfulness, I'm going to serve Christ too. Christians, do you realize if you continue to be a secret Christian, you not only stumble someone, you may, by your testimony, lead someone to the eternal fires. I had a friend. She was a Christian in Australia. She was totally dedicated to her schoolwork. But there was one problem. She would do schoolwork at the expense of even her tutorials. To the point that one time, in our fourth year, when we were discussing about who should be the best person to do this thing, and when her name was mentioned, there was a non-believer who said, you cannot trust her. She will not be around. You know, in my mind, I didn't say anything. I just kept quiet. I remembered that the situation so clearly. That because even though she was a Christian, people actually said, you cannot trust her because she will not be around. The Lord actually chastised myself. Okay, I said, you are not to do this. All right, there was one time I had a similar problem. I've never missed a tutorial in my university days, never in Australia. Okay, and so my friends know that I will always be there. Until one time in my fourth year, all right, I decided that because I wasn't involved in the tutorial, I was just kind of like a spectator. I didn't want to go. And moreover, it's at 8 a.m. in the morning. Who wants to go for classes at 8 a.m. in the morning? Okay. So I decided just for that time, I didn't go. This same girl who said you cannot trust her, I went for a tutorial at 10 plus and I said, John, where were you? At 8. And God, psh, you, me straight. She was a non-believer. You know what? One verse came to my mind. Submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And I had to say, sorry, Lord. I lost my testimony there. I don't know whether that will affect you or not, but you know what? The little things you do, you may not think that people notice, but they do. Would you agree? People may not tell you. How many of you have had SMSs from people? I saw you. Say, where are you? Huh? How many of you have fallen asleep on the bus only to have someone SMS you? Perhaps say, I saw you on bus number so and so. Where are you? Maybe he was just walking along or traveling another bus. Guys, your testimony is so open as Christians. The Bible says as Christians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 1, we are an open book for the world to see. Did you know that? And Christians, you may be the best Christian someone else knows. You may say, Brother Johnny, I just trusted Christ last week. Yeah, you may be the only Christian in that company. And God can still use you. Amen? When the whole place is dark, one small light is enough that people can see the light. Does that make sense? In the army, one of the things in the pitch darkness as infantry soldiers, one of the things they call it light discipline. You realize you're not supposed to smoke in the dark. You know why? Because the cigarette light can be seen for hundreds of meters and that can cost your life. Because when the enemy see you, that light, they will just shoot. Does that make sense? And so they smoke by putting their... I'm not teaching you to do this. It's just... They had to smoke by putting their cigarette into the water bottle so that the light will be covered. I don't know what they drink after that. But that was what we were taught, okay? Christians, if you... The smallest light in your life may be enough to light the way for someone else. Does it make sense? Maybe a friendship, maybe just a kind word, an SMS would be enough to do that. You realize your testimony is so powerful. Many years ago, there was this... I'll give you this statistic. A study once disclosed, if mom and dad attend church regularly, or this is very important for families, if mom and dad attend church regularly, 72% of their children will remain faithful. If mom and dad attend church faithfully, 72% of their children will remain faithful. If only dad comes, 55% will remain faithful. If only mom comes, 15% will only remain faithful. If neither attended regularly, only 6% remain faithful. Any reason why, any doubt why we are losing so many? The statistics speak for themselves. For example, the example of parents and adults is more important than all the efforts of the church in Sunday school. All parents, wake up to this fact that your children need you to set the example for them as genuine Bible believers. A marriage counselor, a Jewish marriage counselor who was a Christian, taught this in a marriage counseling class. All right, for parents, listen to this. If you want your children to be faithful to God, you need to be on fire for God, because the heat that comes across will not be a bonfire, will just be whatever is left behind. Does it make sense? If your fire is not so strong, they are not going to catch it. And if they don't catch the fire, your next generation, in effect, is cut off, and Satan will bring your next generation to hell. I'm saying this seriously because there are many Christian families who are losing their children to the devil simply because they have chosen to be secret Christians. But can I challenge you? Be like John, Joseph and Nicodemus. Be a public Christian and say, I'm a Christian. Can I challenge us as a church? Bring Bibles, written ones. I know sometimes, Brother Johnny, it's more convenient to have electronic Bibles. But you know what? I challenge you to bring a Bible to church and hold it like this. And tell the world, I'm a Christian. Tell the world that you're a Christian. Christians, you may be the best Christian around. And someone knows you. Someone can be encouraged just for you, or by you. The Apostle Paul said this in Galatians 1:23-24. I'll just read. Apostle Paul, remember, he was a persecutor of the church. He hated Christ. But when he became a Christian, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 23-24, this is what they said. But they heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. And they, the churches, glorified God in me. In other words, when those churches were being persecuted by Paul, heard that now Paul preached the gospel, they thank God. God, thank you for Paul. And they were so encouraged. As we conclude, are you a secret Christian? That even your family do not know you're a Christian? No, Brother Johnny, it's going to be hard. I know. It was hard for me too when I first started. But my mom is here. I became a Christian. It was hard. But 17 years later, and now 22 years later, my mom is here. Trusting Christ as a Savior too. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be safe, and thy house. Acts 16:31. God said it, He means it. What does the cross do for you? Do you love the cross and cherish it? Or do you just merely treat it as a symbol? Is your life an influence to someone else? As we close, we're going to be singing the song, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. I believe it should be in there. And Christians today, are you a secret disciple? I hope not. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. And Father, thy word is a lamp to our feet. It teaches us what to do in our Christian lives. Lord, I'm just asking you, Lord, to temper this with your grace and your mercy. Father, humanly speaking, I have no power to do anything, but you do. Lord, I ask you to speak to every individual Christian at this time. Father, we truly ask you to break our hearts and bring us to the point of being Christians, like Joseph, who was public in his declaration of his love for you. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Let me ask you a question. Christian, are you a secret Christian today? Do you have to say, or do you have to cover up the fact you're a Christian because you know that by saying you're a Christian, you will lose something? Can I encourage you? The Lord Jesus Christ, when He was at the cross, when people were crucified at the cross, they were crucified in Roman history without their clothing. In other words, He was put to open shame for us. I'm not suggesting for you to go look for to offend people, but you know, are there times that you may have to just say, I'm a Christian. I cannot do that. And are you willing to say, Lord, I love you this much? Like Joseph and Nicodemus, if I have to give up my reputation, my face, or people may look on me less because I'm a Christian, are you willing? You say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. As pastor, can I just say this? I know it's not going to be easy, especially for the younger Christians. But you know, can I encourage you to trust the Lord? Take the small steps. Whether you follow Christ or not is a very important thing, because ultimately, someone will see your life. But God is there to help us with His grace and His mercy to sustain us and give us the wisdom to do what is the right thing. And if you are saying in your heart, Brother Johnny, I don't think I can, then may I just suggest you do this. Tell God how you feel. And say, Lord, I want to follow you. Give me your strength. Give me your wisdom. Is there anyone like that that said, Brother Johnny, pray for me. That God will give me the grace and mercy no longer to be a secret Christian. Is there anyone? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I see that hand too, a child. Amen. The hand too of a teen. Is there anyone else? Just put it up and put it down and just put your heart to God. God, help me. Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. I see that hand. I'm seeing children and teenagers and even adults. Amen. I see that hand. I'm no longer going to be a secret Christian. It may not need to be that you will tell everyone straight away, but you know what? As people talk to you and ask you what you do on Sundays or a simple thing, you say, no, I'm a Christian and therefore I cannot cheat. I'm a Christian, therefore I need to do this. Is there anyone? You say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that my heart will be resolved. I am a Christian. I am a Christian and I love Jesus because He loved me so much. Is there anyone else? Can I see? Amen. I see that hand too. I see that hand. Oh, pray, Christians, pray. Jesus did not deny you, so don't deny him. He was put to open shame for us. Is there anyone else? Can I ask you, if you're here today, you do not know. If you were to die right now, you'll be in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ came to pay the price for our sin. I'm not asking you for money. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm just saying, do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you're saying, Brother Johnny, I'm not too sure. If I die right now, I'll be in heaven. But I'd like someone to show me. We're not here to force you. We won't force you. But if you're genuine and say, Brother Johnny, I need to know some. Would you pray for me? Would you get someone to help me? I will, with a sister helping a sister, a lady, a brother helping a guy. Is there anyone that say, Brother Johnny, I don't know. If I die right now, I'll be in heaven. Is there anyone? And you'd like to know, is there anyone? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the many hands that have gone up. Lord, we do not want to be secret Christians. Father, as we look at the Bible, we realize the Lord Jesus Christ was put to open shame for us. Because you love us so much. That even the shame on the cross, Lord, was not too much for you to bear to save us. Father, I pray that thy Holy Spirit will touch every heart that has put up their hands. Father, these are teenagers, these are adults, these are children who in their hearts say, I want to follow Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you to strengthen their resolve to be willing to say, I am a Christian because of what Jesus has done for me. And that, Lord, in their hearts, they are not saying because of pride, but they are saying because they know we are not worthy, Lord, of that name. But yet you saved us. Oh God, may your love overwhelm us, that, Lord, we will give you what you deserve, our life. Father, I pray for every teenager who will have to go back to school tomorrow with this decision they have made. Lord, I'm praying that as they go back to the school, their friends will ask questions and they will be prepared in their hearts to say, I can't do this because I'm a Christian. And they will be prepared, Father, to pay the price. Lord, I am asking you to give them grace and wisdom to also put away the sins that would block them or hinder them from being a good Christian testimony. And I'm asking you, Lord, for the adults that put up their hands, that God, you will give them grace to make a stand. Enough, Father, to let people know that they are Christians. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in Ambassador. I pray for the others who may have heard this message and perhaps maybe a bit confused. I pray for one who may not know Jesus as their Savior. I ask, Lord, that you will open their hearts to the gospel and to know how much Jesus Christ loves them. And why Christians would do crazy things to show love for Jesus. Because he loved our soul so much, he died for us and rose again the third day to promise us eternal life. Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing. As we close, Lord, I pray ultimately whatever the results of today's service, I leave it into your hands as only you know how to do that. But God, I pray that people will not leave this place unchanged by the love of the cross. Help us to be like Joseph and Nicodemus, who after when he saw Jesus' death, didn't contribute anything in his life, but at least at his death, they were the only two privileged men that were able to bury the body of Christ. Lord, we want that privilege of honoring you somehow too. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Encourage our hearts. Help us as a church to encourage one another to do the right thing. Lord, lots of sin in this world, many people into immorality and the sins of this life. And I pray Ambassador Baptist Church will be a shining light. Lord, as we leave this place, go back to our homes, our workplaces, our families, may the light of Jesus Christ shine in our lives. Help us to be a Joseph and help us to be a Nicodemus today. We'll thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.